Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
First, the Dáil is set to vote tonight on a range of new measures aimed at limiting the ability of institutional investors to bulk buy new homes. Now, the government has said the measures will forge a path that will allow more young people in Ireland to own their home. But critics maintain the proposals don't go far enough and could take many years to come into effect. Joining me now to discuss the measures is Sean Fleming, Minister of State at the Department of Finance, and Fianna Fáil TD for Laois Offaly. And from our Dáil studio, Richard Boyd Barrett, People Before Profit TD for Dunleary. Good morning to you both. And Minister, I'll start with you. And the big talking point, there are a few of them, but one of them certainly is the exclusion of apartments from these proposals. And this means that cuckoo funds can still bulk buy, and also sends the signal that people should aspire to rent and not to own. So why, in the eyes of this government, is an apartment not seen as a home?
Okay, good morning, Claire, and thank you. First of all, let's talk about what is included, and then we can deal with the issues that are not included. This does apply to all houses and duplexes built throughout the country in housing estates, everywhere you see them throughout the country. In relation to the apartment blocks, that's a very important point. Far more expensive to build an apartment block than it is a traditional residential housing estate. The vast majority of apartment blocks that people are now living in as we speak were built and funded by these international investors. The Irish domestic developers and financial companies don't have the funds to do that. So if some people are suggesting we should
stop
them.
Why is that?
Let me explain, and I think your listeners will understand this. If you're building a housing estate with 100 houses, when you have the first 30 built, you can sell them. You get cash flow in after a short period of time, which helps complete the project. If you're building an apartment block for 100 apartments that people live in, until every last one is finished and the entire snag list is completed, nobody can move in. So the cost of funding that runs much longer, much more expensive before you get any money back, and that's why they are more expensive to develop, and that's why these funds have regularly put the funds up front to pay for that. Okay. And in that situation, many of the people who are in apartments today in the Dublin area especially would have no apartment to live in if what the opposition were suggesting we do run these investment funds out of the country.
Okay, so Richard Boyd Barrett, what do you say to that explanation as to why we need these investment funds to build the apartment blocks?
It's complete nonsense, and I think the true extent of the nonsense and the scandal around this was revealed at the weekend when we discover that actually huge amounts of public money, I estimate at least in excess of €1 billion from strategic investment fund money, that's the former pension reserve fund, was poured into these investment funds. So the public have financed it, including something, by the way, an exclusive to your show, including co-living developments by groups like Bartra, box apartments in places like Dunleary. Absolutely extraordinary. And then, as if that rip-off of public money isn't enough, in many cases, these apartments are leased back to local authorities on 25-year leases where enormous profits are flowing to these investment funds, and after 25 years, they can walk away, and public money is in huge amounts because they're charging extortionate lease costs for these apartments, per unit, €2,500, €2,000 a month. It's an absolute rip-off. I mean, honestly, in my opinion, the mafia couldn't have made up a scandal like this.
All right, but the government has made a move, and it's a significant move. It'll be voted on tonight, and it will help to keep these houses in the market for owner-occupiers.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think 10% is a disincentive. I think what we need is to ban them completely from bulk buying. I'm not even sure why there's so much focus on stamp duty at all, to be honest with you. But if you're going to talk about a disincentive stamp duty, I don't see why it would be 10. It should be, more than one. And it should be about 50% to completely make sure these vultures and cuckoos stay out of the market. But to be honest, why don't we just ban them? I mean, there's absolutely no rationale for allowing these profit-hungry investment funds buy up property that is actually needed by ordinary people. Mm-hmm. And even worse, when we discovered that actually the state was financing many of these cuckoo funds. I mean, it really beggars belief.
Sean Fleming?
Yeah, well, look, I know that's what we hear from Richard and the opposition all the time. And I think they're more interested in a political debate and actually people getting houses. This is going to increase the supply of houses for ordinary people. This rate we're introducing, going from 1% to 10%, is a massive increase in any tax that ever went up like that ever in my lifetime. And this is going to make it more difficult for these companies to even look at these estates. This is going to move them out of it. And above all, and Richard should agree with this, we are allowing the local authorities, and he mentioned his own local authority, to decide on what percentage of these should be kept for home, for home people who want to actually live in the house, be it first-time buyers or people who are moving house. This will be a decision of the local authority. They will also have the percentage for social and affordable houses, and in some local authorities it could represent up to 70% of entire development being kept.
Oh, so the local authority will have the freedom to decide how much is of a development is reserved for owner-occupiers?
Up to a maximum of 50%, because 20% is already set aside.
Okay.
So that does
that's where the 70% comes from.
That comes from the 70%. And local authorities who are best placed, whether you're Cork, Galway or Dublin or Dunleary or wherever you are, you know the demand for houses in your area. Every local authority knows the housing assessment needs in their area, and they will set it. And that's they are the people best placed to do it.
What do you think about that, Richard Boyd Barrett?
Well, first of all, when I look at the vast majority of activity in terms of building that's going on in my area, it seems to be apartments, for a start, which are completely excluded from this. And as you said yourself earlier on, that sort of belies a logic which says apartments can't be family homes. But in any event, there will be nothing whatsoever to stop what is actually happening and is going to continue to happen of these cuckoo funds buying up entire blocks of apartments and then renting them out either at utterly extortionate rents that the majority of people can't afford, or leasing them back to local authorities where the public end up paying anyway. Now, why on earth wouldn't we cut out the middleman here? Why do we need these funds? If ISIF is putting money into them in the first place, if we end up paying, I mean, by the way, for example, 40% of all HAP payments are going to corporate landlords. 40%. This is a huge drain on the public finances. And then you add into that the cost of leasing. Why on earth would the state not just do it itself, and then we would own the properties and we could set rents at affordable levels?
But you and your party, you've been saying for years now that the state needs to tax large foreign investors. Today, that's what the state is doing. Surely you must welcome this. Even if you see it as a first step, you must welcome that it will help to level the playing field.
We're not going to vote against it. I mean, anything that gets a bit of money off these characters, you know, is better than nothing. But the point is it going to stop the essentially the destruction of the housing market that is pricing ordinary working families out of being able to afford to buy a house, or leading to rents which are absolutely out of the reach of most ordinary workers? And the answer is, none of those things, Sean.
No, I have to come in. Like, this is one step the government is doing today. Richard knows well that we are expanding the Help to Buy scheme. We're introducing a new cost rental scheme. We local authorities and approved housing bodies can continue to buy houses themselves, funded by the state, the biggest investment by the state ever. We're reforming the service sites fund. We have a shared equity scheme, and the Land Development Agency is going to have cost rental houses built on all public land throughout the country. And this is just one of about 6 or 7 items. No one item on its own will solve the problem. You need to tackle it in very...
Can I go back, Sean Fleming, to what you said there about the local authorities deciding what percentage of a development should go to owner-occupiers?
Yeah.
Like, equally, I mean, you said they could decide that up to 50% should go to owner-occupiers. They could also decide that 0% should go to owner-occupiers.
Yeah, well, I don't think any local council in the country is going to do that. When we brought in the social and affordable percentage rate, it's now 20%. We gave flexibility within that figure so they could change the mix of what was required. So now, on top of that 20%, they have the option of doing another 50%. I know some local authorities will go to the max. Others might say, depending on the housing demand and the there's no where there are counties in Ireland where the situation is not as severe as others, they may or may not. But I actually think it's right to have the local authority who knows more about the local housing situation in each area make the decision on the percentage, rather than all there and dictating one rule fits all. Because if we did that, Richard would be the first one back saying one rule doesn't fit all. And this is excellent legislation. It sets clear limits, it's constitutionally sound, and it gives local authorities the final say on the percentage, which is the right thing to do.
Excellent legislation, Richard Boyd Barrett.
Well, as I said, first of all, it doesn't apply to apartments, OK? And that's a huge amount of the development that is going on in the areas where the housing crisis is most acute, where the unaffordability crisis is most acute, OK? So it doesn't even touch that. Secondly, why would you leave the door open at all for the bulk buying of housing estates, even if it's a disincentive after they buy 10? Why would you leave that door open for them at all? There is no good reason, because their activities are bidding up rents and house prices to levels that are completely unaffordable.
But on the apartments, banks, I mean, do you not accept that banks are unwilling to take a risk on these large-scale developments, and that we need investors to form some part of our response to this housing crisis?
No, I don't. Because first of all, the investors borrow money too. The state can borrow money. I mean, I'm on the Budget Scrutiny Committee. I met with the IMF the other day, and these are not exactly left-wing ideologues in the IMF. And they were arguing the state should significantly increase its direct investment in the provision of public and affordable housing. The EU fiscal rules have been waived during the context of COVID. And it's important to say, for every cent that the state directly puts into providing its own public and affordable housing, it's saving money. Money because it drives down the HAP bill. We have a HAP bill, money going out, down the drain, into the pockets of these REITs and investment funds, running at about €1 billion a year. Mm-hmm. If we build our own stock of affordable and public housing, we save that money. So it actually makes sense for the state to invest upfront directly, and then we save money in the long run, as well as actually providing affordable and public housing.
We're investing €3.5 billion this year, the biggest amount ever, in state investment through local authorities, Land Development Agency, and through the WHO approved housing bodies. And in relation to some of the investment funds, some of these are pension funds where many people have been putting funds in pensions so they will get a return at the end of their life. And if Richard says we don't need people providing for their pension, people shouldn't be putting money in pension funds and putting it into property so they'll be able to have an income in their old age. We're just on different planets here. And this idea of all of these are going out borrowing and in competition to the Irish banks, people provide for their pensions, and that's where they have funds and they want to invest. And for Richard to say people who want to invest in pension funds have no business coming to Ireland to invest, I don't think that's the message we want to send out.
Well, just to say, in the biggest housing development that's going on in the country at the moment, in Cherrywood, in my area, where there's going to be 8,000 units, all the apartment blocks have been bought by a Dutch pension fund, a Dutch state pension fund. So the benefit will go to Dutch pensioners, not to Irish pensioners, but people here will be paying extraordinary, extortionate rents and prices
I have to tell Richard Dell knows all those beneficiaries who invested in that under this arrangement are already paying the investors, not the fund. The investors are paying 25% tax, withholding tax by the government. They're now going to pay 10% stamp duty on that development. The fund, that's 35% tax straight away out of every penny that can be earned out of this. Richard wants, and the opposition wants, a capital gains tax of 33% on top of the 35%. They want a corporation rental tax rate of 25% on top of that. Sinn Féin wants 7% higher stamp duty over and above the 10% we're introducing in the Dáil, all which adds up to 100% tax on everybody who wants to invest in an apartment block in Ireland. So Richard wants no apartments built, because he's actually saying, and the opposition are saying, that everybody and every business and every pension fund should attract
except Sean Fleming, the Green Party, your partners in government. Their party leader is reported to have raised this as an issue at Cabinet yesterday, along with some of his colleagues at that table.
Yeah, and And do you know what? It's not good that there are different views at the cabinet, and there's three government parties as part of the government, and I actually think that's good. And the issue of apartments has been raised. It's an issue that will be looked at. But what we're saying, let's put this new legislation through the Dáil today. Let's get the local authorities doing their bit in relation to planning permissions that they're going to grant. Let's see how this tax works. And like every tax measure, it will be reviewed.
Okay, can I ask you, Sean Fleming, on another issue? What happened last night when the government allowed that Sinn Féin motion to pass calling for affordable housing to be delivered at a maximum price of 230,000 in Dublin and less outside the capital? Did the government forget to back your own counter motion against it?
No, I'll tell you what happened. A genuine error was made in the Dáil Chamber last night. Minister Malcolm Noonan was there deputising for Minister Dara O'Brien, and when it came to call the vote, he made an error and the vote wasn't called.
Oh, so it's his fault.
And he's acknowledged he made an error on the day.
Okay, and he knows that you're holding him responsible for that?
He's publicly contacted the minister and he's also spoken to the people in government confirming that he made a mistake himself. It was a human error on the night.
Okay, Richard Boybard, do you want to say something there?
Well, I just want to say it makes absolutely no difference anyway, because when the opposition get motions passed, which the government should respect and implement and act on, they completely ignore them and do so on a regular basis, showing quite considerable...
That's because we have better proposals coming through today.
Showing quite considerable contempt for the democratic process, Sean.
We didn't pass a motion last night as we would like to have done last night, but we're passing legislation today in relation to stamp duty, which is actually far more substantive. And I think people will see this all came up in relation to what happened in Maynooth just a few short weeks ago. It's a very quick response within 2 weeks.
All right.
In relation, and the final thing I have to say, because there's a myth out there, if the rates in the UK, the stamp duty is higher.
Yes.
There's so many exemptions in the UK, it wouldn't capture those housing developments, because in the UK, a house has to be over 500,000 before it comes into this. So all these housing estates throughout the country wouldn't be subject to any increased capital gains or any increased stamp duty, I should say, if we were to follow what Sinn Féin is saying, following the UK model.
OK, listen, we'll leave it there. Richard Boybard, Sean Fleming, thank you both very much indeed. Coming up, we're going to find out how this HSE cyber attack is impacting nurses who are working on the front line.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.